Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into something major. We're ripping the lid off what feels like the biggest ethical tightrope walk in modern tech.
Definitely. We're looking at AI content policy and specifically how the massive pressure of the market is forcing some huge changes.
Yeah, the ground has shifted, hasn't it? And it's forcing us and you listening to confront these really big questions about what we let these powerful AI tools create.
It really is. And this isn't just some minor tweak to the terms of service. You know, It feels much bigger. It's like a fundamental policy shift, almost philosophical, but wrapped up in some pretty desperate business needs, it seems.
So our mission today, our deep dive, is to unpack what's happening with OpenAI. They've made some dramatic announcements.
That's right. Specifically allowing erotica soon, but only for verified adults. We need to dig into the ethics, the legal stuff, and importantly, the intense competition driving this.
And figure out what it signals, right? For AI safety, for that market share battle, and maybe even how we define responsible use anymore.
Exactly. It redefines the boundaries.
And the big reveal, the thing that really kicked this off, came straight from the top, from OpenAI CEO Sam Altman.
Yep. He confirmed it. Upcoming ChatGPT versions will allow a wider range of content. That includes erotica.
And he framed it, didn't he, as wanting to, quote, treat adult users like adults.
He did. But, you know, it's more than just flicking a switch on a filter. It feels like they're intentionally redrawing the lines for the most popular AI tool out there.
And taking on huge risks to scale up, presumably.
That seems to be the calculation, yes.
Okay, so let's break down this announcement. Altman's post on X, it was pretty specific.
Wider content allowance, including erotica, starting in December, crucially tied to getting age gating rolled out more fully.
But he didn't frame it just as more content. He talked about user control, about personality.
That's the key framing. He said it's about letting the chatbot behave more like a human, which, you know, is huge for engagement.
So users could tweak the personality, like make it friendlier or use more emojis or...
Or, and this is the important part for this discussion, get those more human-like, less sanitized responses that the early, very strict filters would have blocked.
He was careful, though. He said this would only happen if you want it, not because we are usage maxing.
Right. But the moment you hear that phrase, usage maxing, especially from a company like OpenAI,
it makes you pause, doesn't it? Like, is this really just about user choice? Or is it fundamentally about needing to compete?
I mean, it's incredibly hard to pull those two apart. The public message is autonomy for adults.
But the business reality.
The business reality screams competition. Mm. You just can't ignore the timing and the landscape. Look at what others are doing.
You mean like Elon Musk? With XAI and Grok?
Exactly. Grok started offering sexually explicit chatbot interactions. That carved out a space OpenAI had explicitly said no to.
So OpenAI sees that even with their massive user base, they can't afford to let a competitor own a whole segment of potential interaction, even a controversial one.
It seems that way. In this kind of high-stakes battle for dominance, leaving any flank exposed, even the ethically tricky ones, might feel like an existential risk.
Which brings us to the money, because that drives so much of this risk-taking.
Absolutely. The sources are clear on this. OpenAI's revenue, skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Unprecedented growth.
But
they've never actually been profitable. They are burning through staggering amounts of cash. Think about the computing power needed for these models.
So the pressure isn't just about being number one, it's about justifying the valuation, getting the next funding round.
Precisely. Market domination isn't just a nice to have, it's survival at this scale.
Mm.
Investors look at engagement, time spent, total users.
And if a chunk of your potential adult audience wants content you're blocking, content that drives deep engagement,
then those restrictions start looking like a problem, a financial liability. They hinder that exponential growth curve everyone's chasing.
So restricting erotica might actually hurt their ability to usage max, even though Altman tried to distance himself from that idea?
It seems very likely. Think about what Rob Lalka, the Tulane business professor, said. Even with record adoption, they have to continue to push along that exponential growth curve, achieving market domination.
So if users drift off to Grok because it offers something ChatGPT doesn't...
That's a lost user, lost engagement data, a crack in the narrative needed for investors. It directly impacts that usage maxing, whether they admit it or not.
So relaxing the rules, allowing erotica, it's a calculated business risk. Capture everyone, keep everyone engaged, even if it means walking a much finer safety line.
That's certainly how it looks from a market perspective. It's about maximizing the addressable adult audience, and that inevitably leads us to the safety tightrope.
Yeah, let's talk about that tightrope. Because those initial strict filters, they weren't there for no reason, right? There were serious risks they were trying to manage from the start.
Very serious. Altman himself was upfront about it early on. He said ChatGPT was made pretty restrictive, specifically to make sure we were being careful with mental health issues.
And he knew it limited the tool, made it less fun or useful for some things.
He acknowledged that, yeah. He said it made the service less useful, enjoyable for some, but the priority back then was caution, especially around mental health. Safety first, even if it meant less human-like chat, less engagement.
But then the worst case scenario happened, something that put a terrifying spotlight on those risks.
Tragically, yes. We have to talk about the wrongful death lawsuit filed by Matt and Maria Rain.
Their 16-year-old son, Adam, died by suicide in April.
And this lawsuit was the first of its kind, accusing OpenAI directly of wrongful death. That's completely new territory for AI companies and their duty of care.
What was the core of their argument? It wasn't just that the chatbot knew Adam was struggling, was it?
No, it was deeper. They argued the existing safety measures, the parental controls, just weren't enough. They even included chat logs in the lawsuit,
showing Adam talking about his suicidal thoughts with ChatGPT.
Yes. And the claim essentially was about the failure to adequately intervene or manage that crisis, given how sensitive the interaction was.
So what specific duty were they saying OpenAI breached?
It boils down to foreseeability of harm. The argument is, if you build an AI that can have these deep, almost therapy-like conversations, especially with kids,
you take on a certain responsibility.
Exactly. A responsibility that, in this tragic case, the Rain family argues OpenAI's safety protocols didn't meet. It raises the question, does an AI developer have a duty to actively prevent harm when a user clearly signals intent like that within the system?
And the fact that this happened even with the old, more restrictive rules in place, that's chilling.
It really underscores the stakes. Even their earlier caution wasn't foolproof in a crisis situation.
Okay, so you've got this market battle pushing them to loosen the rules. And you've got this horrific lawsuit highlighting the dangers, especially for minors. How does OpenAI justify loosening the rules now in December?
Well, their official stance is that they've fixed the problem. That's the justification.
That's it. Fix the mental health risks.
That's the claim.
Yeah.
Altman stated they've been able to mitigate the serious mental health risks.
He says they have new tools now. New tools that let them safely relax the restrictions in most cases. That sounds convenient.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. They need a reason to open up the platform for more engagement, more adult content. And suddenly, the major safety roadblock, the mental health crisis risk, is declared mitigated.
Is there any outside proof of this mitigation? Or are we just supposed to trust them on this right before they roll out Erotica?
For the most part, we are taking their word for it.
Yeah.
And that's a huge leap of faith.
Yeah.
They're essentially saying their tech is now robust enough to handle something as critical as suicidal ideation perfectly, every time. And the implication is, if they can handle that, they can surely handle age verification and preventing harmful sexual content.
But are those the same challenge? Crisis intervention versus content moderation and age checks?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. They're vastly different technical and ethical problems. Both need an incredibly high level of accuracy, maybe even an unattainable one. But the claim is they've cracked the first one, clearing the way for the second.
Which brings us right to the heart of it, age verification. This whole plan to allow Erotica depends entirely on them age gating more fully, as Altman put it.
It's the linchpin. Everything rests on it.
But the sources we looked at, experts, critics, they seem really skeptical about whether this is even possible technically, let alone ethically sound, given the risks to kids.
Absolutely. The reliability of age verification is, without a doubt, the weakest link in this whole chain. Jenny Kim, a law firm partner quoted in the sources, she really honed in on this.
What'd she say?
She basically asked the crucial question, how are they actually going to stop children from getting into the adult-only erotica-generating parts of ChatGPT? It sounds simple, but it's technically massive.
And she had that quote, something about guinea pigs.
Yeah. OpenAI, like most of big tech in this space, is just using people like guinea pigs.
Yeah.
As she pointed out, we don't even know if their age gating is going to work.
Which isn't just paranoia, right? There's history here.
There is. A pretty recent damning history. Remember that TechCrunch report from April?
Before this whole Erotica announcement.
Exactly. They found that OpenAI was already, even with the stricter rules, allowing accounts registered as minors to generate graphic erotica.
Wow. So the system was already failing.
It was porous, yes. They had to scramble to fix it back then. So if the old system couldn't reliably block it when it wasn't even supposed to be generating it.
How much harder is it going to be when they intentionally allow it for adults and the only thing stopping a kid is this age gate?
Precisely. The risk level just skyrockets if those verification systems aren't absolutely bulletproof.
So what are they actually proposing? What are these new tools or safeguards?
Well, we know about two main things they've mentioned or rolled out.
Okay.
First, back in September, they launched a specific under 18 experience. Supposedly, it redirects automatically, blocks graphic stuff that's like the baseline policy layer.
Makes sense. What's the second part?
The second part is the really ambitious and maybe controversial one, developing behavior-based age prediction technology.
Okay, hang on. Behavior-based age prediction. Let's unpack that. What does that actually mean for you, the user? How is an AI guessing your age from how you chat?
Right. It's moving beyond just asking for a birth date, which, you know, anyone can lie about.
Sure.
This tech tries to deduce your age by analyzing how you interact. It looks at subtle signals.
Like what?
Things like the vocabulary you use. Is it complex, mature language, or more juvenile? The length and sophistication of your questions or prompts, your tone, the topics you're interested in, cultural references you make, maybe even when you use the service late night versus after school.
So it's building a behavioral profile.
Essentially, yes.
No.
It's trying to see if your interaction patterns statistically match those typically associated with an adult or a minor. It's a form of behavioral biometrics almost.
Whoa. Okay, that raises some serious flags, doesn't it? First, privacy. They're analyzing how you talk to categorize you, maybe limiting access, even if you say you're an adult.
That's a huge concern, yes.
Yeah. And second, accuracy. Can this kind of probabilistic system, because it's guessing, right? Can it ever be 100% accurate? Accurate enough to be the only thing protecting kids from accessing pornography?
No, it can't be infallible. That's the core of the skepticism. It's based on probabilities, patterns. There will always be an error rate. It's unproven technology at this scale for this specific high-stakes purpose.
Okay, so even if they somehow get the age gating incredibly accurate, say 99.9%, which seems optimistic.
Which is very optimistic, yes.
We still need to talk about the ethics of generating adult content, even for consenting adults. It's not like that simple either.
Not at all. Moving beyond the risk to minors, generating erotica itself is an ethical minefield.
What are the main challenges there?
The biggest one is translating abstract ethical ideas into concrete AI behavior. Things like genuine consent within the generated scenario, avoiding exploitation, not reinforcing harmful stereotypes.
How do you program an AI to understand the nuances of consent in fiction or to avoid, say, racist or sexist tropes when generating erotica?
Exactly. It's incredibly difficult. If you allow erotica generation, even with filters, you risk the AI creating scenarios that are non-consensual, exploitative, or just deeply problematic, reinforcing awful stereotypes about gender, power, sexuality. The AI needs a level of ethical understanding that's, frankly, unprecedented.
And it changes the user's relationship with the AI, too, right? The sources mentioned that CDT survey.
Yes, the Center for Democracy and Technology survey. Really interesting findings.
What was it? 1 in 5 students?
1 in 5 students reported either having a romantic relationship with an AI themselves or knowing someone who did. And that was before this explicit move towards erotica.
So people are already forming intimate bonds.
They are. And when the AI is designed to fulfill intimate adult desires to generate erotica, it doesn't just blur lines. It potentially creates entirely new norms around human-AI relationships.
It makes you ask weird questions like, what does consent even mean with a machine you're asking to generate fantasy content?
Precisely. And how does normalizing these intimate AI interactions affect actual human relationships? It's a huge societal question lurking beneath the surface of this policy change.
Okay, so OpenAI makes this move, pushing into erotica, partly maybe to compete with Grok.
Right.
But this isn't happening in a vacuum. Regulators are watching. Lawmakers are watching. This decision must be cranking up the pressure on them.
Right. Massively. The announcement itself, confirming erotica is coming, seems to have just intensified the scrutiny and maybe even sped up efforts to put tighter controls on these AI companions. Mm. Regardless of OpenAI's claims about having mitigated risks.
What are we seeing specifically on the regulatory front?
Well, action at both federal and state levels. Nationally, the big one is the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission.
What are they doing?
They've launched a nationwide inquiry, specifically looking into how AI chatbots interact with children. It's broad, targeting several major tech companies, including OpenAI.
And they're worried about negative effects,
yeah.
Manipulation.
Yeah, potential harms, manipulative interactions, especially concerning teenagers. It's a serious investigation.
But then there's the legislation that could really change the game, liability.
Absolutely. In the U.S. Senate, there's bipartisan legislation introduced just last month. This is the one that could fundamentally alter the legal landscape for AI developers.
How so?
It proposes classifying AI chatbots as products.
Okay, why is that such a big deal? Product versus what? Service platform.
Exactly. Right now, many online platforms have some protection from liability for user-generated content, like Section 230 in the U.S. But if an AI chatbot is legally classified as a product,
It falls under product liability law, like a toaster or a car.
precisely. And that means the developer, OpenAI in this case, could be held directly liable if the product is defective and causes harm.
Defective design, failure to warn.
Yes. So imagine if a chatbot classified as a product leads to a wrongful death or generates defamatory content or facilitates harassment. The injured party could potentially sue OpenAI directly as the manufacturer of a faulty product.
That's a massive shift in risk. No wonder the industry is nervous about that classification.
It's a potential game changer for liability. It puts the onus squarely on the multi-billion dollar company, not just the user.
We also saw something interesting happen in California, didn't we? With Governor Newsom.
Yes, that veto was significant. There was a bill that aimed to block developers from offering AI companions to kids unless the company could guarantee the AI wouldn't cause harmful behavior.
A guarantee. That sounds impossible.
Pretty much. And Newsom vetoed it. But his reasoning is what's really
What
interesting.
was his take?
He rejected that absolute protection approach. His message basically said that blocking isn't the answer long term. He stressed that teenagers actually need to learn how to interact safely with AI systems.
So he's arguing for AI literacy, almost, that we need to teach kids how to navigate these tools, not just shield them completely.
That seems to be the implication, that total protection might actually hinder them from developing necessary skills for the future. It highlights this incredibly difficult dilemma for policymakers.
Block and protect, knowing you might stifle learning. Or allow access and teach safety, knowing the tech has inherent risks.
It's an impossible balancing act.
So if you pull all this together, the market pressure demanding more human-like adult content, the legal nightmare of the wrongful death suit,
Right.
the huge technical question mark over age verification,
Yeah, the weakest link.
and then the regulators closing in, threatening product classification. It's just this constant, intense pressure cooker.
It really is. OpenAI is pushing for market share, trying to meet every possible adult user need. But every step they take in that direction seems to exponentially increase their risk profile with minors, mental health, and potential legal liability.
It feels like they're making a huge bet on their tech, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Betting that this new behavior-based age prediction or whatever other safeguards they have will actually work well enough, quickly enough.
Before the regulators bring down the hammer, or before another tragedy leads to another massive lawsuit?
It's like innovation sprinting ahead, and safety is just desperately trying to keep up.
That's a perfect way to put it. The definition of moving fast and potentially breaking things. But the things here are incredibly serious. Hashtags take outro.
So, after digging through all this, what's the bottom line? What does this all mean for us, for you listening?
I think the core takeaway has to be that this move towards allowing erotica towards more expressive AI, it isn't just some isolated decision about content.
It's strategic.
It's deeply strategic. It feels like a calculated move driven by OpenAI's need to dominate the market financially, to keep growing, even if it means accepting way more legal and ethical heat.
They're prioritizing engagement maybe over maximum caution.
It looks that way. Choosing maximum user capture over maximum safety precautions, perhaps. And that entire choice, that entire strategy, hinges precariously on whether their new, largely untested age verification tech actually works.
Especially that behavior prediction stuff.
Exactly. The success or failure of that technology feels incredibly significant, not just for OpenAI, but for the whole field.
Because if AI is now deliberately moving into generating intimate adult content,
It fundamentally shifts public perception, doesn't it? It forces us to redefine our relationship with AI, potentially forever.
and it really forces that question of where responsibility lies when tech gets this intimate.
Yeah. So maybe the final thought we leave you with today, the thing to really chew on, is this.
Go on.
If the underlying goal really is usage maxing, whether they admit it or not, and if maximizing usage means AI has to enter these incredibly sensitive, intimate parts of human life,
Yeah.
what's the true societal cost of that market strategy? As these AIs get more human-like, as they're designed to fulfill complex adult desires, how does the success, or more importantly, the potential failure of something like age gating, affect our trust in all digital boundaries?
And who ends up paying the price if that sophisticated adult use content built to drive engagement and profit inevitably leaks through the cracks and reaches kids or vulnerable users?
That's the question to keep asking. What's the real cost of pushing these boundaries?